AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN Smart Nitrogen. Learn more about the industry's environmentally smart nitrogen at smartnitrogen.com. And by Full Scale from Helena. Help soybeans reach their full yield potential with an efficient foliar blend of plant extracts and micronutrients from Full Scale. Okay, the physical infrastructure bill, it's passed the House and the Senate, and there's a little talked about impact on the tax structure that we need to talk about, but the real risk on taxes is in the Build Back Better plan. We'll detail some of those risks and find out what's on Don's and Jay's minds as they wrap up harvest.
Live from Twin 21 Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with a chat with the Farm CPA from Clifton Larson Allen Paul Niefer. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Don Lamb and Jay Myers. Right after the news, Marty Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
You know, I'm going to prove it again that I am always listening when you start speaking, Davis.
You pay attention? You caught that?
Twin 21 Day?
That's right.
But I'm...
Well, let's just let it marinate. We'll see if the Farm CPA can help us with that, because it does involve a little math. It involves a little math.
What? Oh. Mm-hmm. 11 and 10.
Yeah, look down at the right-hand corner of your screen. At
of
the bottom
my screen.
There. Yep.
I just did. Thank you.
That's
Thank
how
you.
I got
get it now. I get it now. Welcome to AgriTalk. I am Chip Flory, and the mathematician there is Davis Michelson.
Actually, yes. Thank you, Tim. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. That's all the math I'm going to do all day, I promise, everyone.
Love it. Love it. Davis, the weather's going to change on us.
What?
Yeah.
I was just getting my Speedos back out.
Yeah. No. You please pack those away, okay? We've talked about that before. And,
well, most of them.
Yeah. But the radar has got a little bit of weather that's already starting to move into the area. Nothing too serious at this point. But it is starting to obviously gather some momentum out there in central Nebraska. Boy, it just looks like it's going to be the start of late fall starts this afternoon here in Northeast Iowa, Davis. Let's put it that way.
This is it, huh?
This is it.
Let me look. Oh, man.
Have you got it on your calendar? Did you have it marked? Ready to go?
I did not have it marked, but I don't think I can dispute you here. I would love to, but
I know you
can't do it. I can't do it.
All right, man. Hey, let's go ahead and get started here. We've got a lot of ground to cover. Paul Niefer is coming in. And then, of course, we've got the Farmer Forum coming up, second half of the show. Looking forward to that.
Chip, inflation hit its highest point in more than 30 years, the Labor Department reported. The Consumer Price Index, a basket of products ranging from gasoline and healthcare to groceries and rents, rose 6.2% from a year ago. That compared to a 5.9% pre-report estimate. On a monthly basis, the CPI increased 0.9% against a 0.6% estimate. The data will reinforce the view that inflationary pressures are proving far more persistent than initially expected. That's a growing risk the Federal Reserve acknowledged last week when it announced its plans to begin scaling back its asset purchase program later this month, Chip.
Yeah, the analysts at Wells Fargo, they called the CPI the Consumer Pain Index.
Ooh.
And when you get it up into the range that it is now, even if it would have come in at that 5.9 that was expected, it would still be the Consumer Pain Index. The Today Show this morning, remember I told you, Mrs. Flory usually has the Today Show on before she leaves.
Bless her heart.
Well, they did a story on meatflation this morning.
Meatflation.
Meatflation. Here it is. Yep.
Well, President Biden will use the port of Baltimore today for the backdrop of a speech on his plans for the bipartisan infrastructure measure to make progress against supply chain bottlenecks. Meanwhile, Biden spoke with the chief executive officers of Walmart, UPS, FedEx, and Target To discuss easing supply chain bottlenecks, Biden and the executives talked about potential moves to speed up delivery and lower prices. The executives told the president that store shelves will be well-stocked for the holiday season. Chip.
You know, we always talk about it's best to keep programs voluntary and lead with the carrot. Don't drive with the stick. Well, they're doing some driving with a stick on some of these things and putting escalating fees on containers that are still sitting past 9 days after they've been offloaded. And they're putting they're handing the fees to Walmart, UPS, FedEx, Target, and they're starting to see some movement on those containers when those fees start racking up.
To continue that analogy, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told reporters in Glasgow on Tuesday at the UN Climate Change Conference that she expects the Build Back Better plan to pass by November 15. This as the Congressional Budget Office begins the process of tallying the actual cost of implementing the sweeping plan. The CBO says it will release figures on parts of the bill as they are available, but also noted a final total will take some time.
Yeah, we'll talk with Niefer about the BBB coming up in the next segment.
China's factory gate prices surged at a record pace in October due to higher energy costs, adding to anxieties that global inflation will persist. China's price producer index rose by a record 13.5% in October. That's the fastest pace in 26 years. And Chip, a group of bipartisan lawmakers have reached a deal on a cattle market proposal. Yep. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa said, quote, "This bill takes several steps to improve cattle price transparency and will improve market conditions for the independent producers across the country." Chip, the legislation would establish regional mandatory minimum thresholds of negotiated cash and grid trades, in addition to requiring USDA to maintain a publicly available library of marketing contracts.
You bet. You bet. We talked with Matt Deppe, CEO of the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, on the show yesterday morning. Yep. If you did not hear that, get the details from Matt. And we are going to have Ethan Lane back on for a second time this week to talk about the market transparency bill tomorrow. Cool, all right. Cool. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp. How are you, Margie?
Hey, Chip. Good morning. Feeling grateful that we have the jobs we have because we are just always learning, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. We are always learning. I bet this has got something to do with the row crop challenge.
Absolutely. So the Row Crop Challenge is a program that I've been able to be a partner with Ag Launch, which is a tech incubator and accelerator located in the Mid-South, but also has a footprint in Iowa and the Northwest. And the Row Crop Challenge is all about taking early stage technologies. So these are even before they're available on the market, pre-commercial, and get them on farms with farmers using them to help really prove how these technologies can push agriculture forward. So we've got 10 finalists that have been announced in the Row Crop Challenge, and they are all really neat technologies.
Okay. So is there a theme to some of these technologies?
I would say big, broad, and bold because they span a couple of different areas from environmental and climate solutions to soil health, some novel methods for pest control, transforming manure to fertilizer that can be spread across fields and perhaps stabilized and additive in new ways. So check that one out. Really cool technology specific to hogs. And then also some machinery advancements. So water jet row cleaners. So high pressure row cleaners that are actually using water and pressure to clearing out that furrow and make a perfect pass for the planter. And we even have an entrant trying to develop a new kind of social network. So a little something for everybody.
Yeah, sounds awesome. I cannot wait to get some more details on them. Thank you, Margie. Appreciate it.
Yep, full stories available on AgWeb, folks.
Awesome, awesome. That's Margie Eckelkamp, editor of Farm Journal's The Scoop. When we come back, Farm CPA Paul Niefer, Clifton Larson Allen, right here on AgriTalk.
Every year, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low-dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Find farm equipment on Machine Repeat's November 23rd online auction. No reserve, no buyer fees. Start bidding now. Auctions.machinerypeat.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is with us. Okay.
I'm here.
Here we are into the last, let's call it 6 weeks of the year. We've got to talk about some late year tax preps that you should be thinking about. But we've also got these major pieces of legislation that are making their way through the House, the Senate, over to the White House, that include some changes to the tax structure. So let's get the latest on what's going on there. Paul Niefer, Farm CPA, Clifton Larson Allen joins us. Niefer, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you?
I'm doing good. We actually have had some rain lately, and we definitely need it out here.
Yeah. I've talked to a couple of guys out your way that say the fall grass really doesn't look too bad.
No, we've actually, it sounds like we're going to have a La Nina, which typically when we have a La Nina, all that rain that's hitting Northern California also comes up our direction. So I think we're looking pretty good. I mean, after having a quarter inch of rain for 6 months total, we definitely can use all the rain we can get.
Yeah. Yep. So how'd your corn and beans do in Eastern Iowa?
I was pretty happy. I was good. Definitely pretty happy with the yields.
Good. That's great to hear. Really good to hear. So, okay, I saw this in your latest blog. Those farmers who qualify for the Employee Retention Credit, or ERC, for the fourth quarter will no longer be allowed to claim the credit due to the Transportation Infrastructure Bill. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, what that means is a lot of farmers had a 20% reduction in their revenues, either the third or the fourth quarter of 2021, compared to the same time period in 2019, not 2020, but 2019, they're eligible for a 70% of wages up to $10,000 per employee. So let's say a farmer's got four employees, they all make at least $10,000 during the quarter. You know, that's a $28,000 credit that with the passage of this bill, once President Biden signs it, I mean, he hasn't signed it yet. Sounds like he's supposed to do it maybe next week. That means farmers that were counting on that credit for the fourth quarter, they already knew they qualified for it, are not going to be able to take advantage of it.
Okay. So,
we've seen some farmers that this credit is easily a $500,000 or $1 million. So this is a big number or more.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought, that this is a big deal, and it's not for an insignificant number of farmers. It's going to impact a fairly significant number of farms, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I think of the, let's say there's $500,000 farmers out there that are what I call, I'm not going to say true farmers, but they make their livelihood from being
commercial.
A farmer. Commercial farmers. I'm guessing potentially half of those farms would normally qualify for this credit in the fourth quarter, and they're not going to get it.
Okay. Does it come back?
Now, let's back up a second. Yeah. So I was doing a podcast with, former Representative Colin Peterson about a month ago, and his thoughts were that with the BBBB, whatever it's called now, Build Back Better Act, that potentially, especially once it goes into the Senate, that potentially with the fact that this act didn't get passed until halfway through the fourth quarter, that they might bring it back in. Now, we're not counting on that, but if that does happen, then those farmers will go ahead and qualify for that in the fourth quarter. But as of right now, once President Biden signs the BIF, whatever it's called, then they're not going to qualify in the fourth quarter.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to have to watch the development on that one. Your latest blog also mentioned the IRS is sending notices to taxpayers requesting forms 941s or 943s. What's that all about?
Well, the IRS is so backed up right now that, matter of fact, we heard of one case where an estate that paid in a $3 million check, it actually went into an office and it sat in a corner for 6 months. And the only reason they finally cashed it is because the taxpayer called and said, hey, why haven't you cashed my check? So there's checks that are just sitting there that haven't been processed. There's 941s, 943s. There's tax returns that have been properly filed. They've even been electronically filed. They should be in the IRS system, but because of their staffing issue. And I think really, I think what it is, just like some of our staff, they've sort of gotten burnt out, you know, with COVID. You know, when we first had COVID, you know, people sort of said, hey, you know, we'll get together. We'll get this done. But, you know, the longer this goes, the longer it goes, you know, I think people are just getting burnt out. So, and definitely that's affected the IRS.
So it's just a lack of process. Is it a lack of people or a lack of productivity?
I think it's a little bit of both. Part of it is that, you know, when you're if you're the IRS and you're trying to work from home and they have some antiquated computer systems where even when I'm talking to an IRS agent that should just be able to look up something on their system, they'll look it up and say, oh, I can't access that because it's in another department. I'm not allowed to access that. Well, that just doesn't work very well. And that's the way their systems are set up. So and plus, since a lot of them are still stuck at home, it's even worse. So it's more, I think, certainly the lack of staff, but definitely a lack of productivity.
Gotcha. Okay. Physical infrastructure bill has passed the House and the Senate. The focus is back on the Build Back Better plan. There's a lot of spending that is coming down the road, which means that there's going to be some new taxes to pay for it. What are some of the tax risks that we need to be aware of?
You know, and luckily so far, I'm going to say so far, all the things that we were really, really concerned about haven't really made it into the bill. But what has made into the bill that the farmers, some farmers will be hit with is that if you're a farmer with gross income after expenses, but not taxable income, but gross income, if it's over that $400,000 level, you're essentially going to be start paying another 3.8% tax. It's called the net investment income tax, which originally was part of Obamacare, ACA, and it was designed to be a tax on interest, dividends, and rents. Well, President Biden trying to raise revenue is saying it was a loophole. Well, it was a loophole that he and President Obama created, but now they're saying that if you're a farmer, all of your farm income is either going to be subject to self-employment tax or it's going to be subject to this 3.8% net investment income tax. Also, some farmers have S corporations that people have passed away and it's gone into a trust. You know, that's fairly common in the farm arena. And it's likely that they're going to be hit with, if they have, let's say, $500,000 of income, and there are farm operations out there at that level, that their top tax rate now is going to approach almost 50%. It's going to be 48.8% federal. And then on top of it, if you're in the state of California, it's another 13.3%. So you're looking at about a 61, 62% tax rate. So that's definitely in there. There's some other changes on losses where farmers were able to take large losses and offset income in future years. That's going to be severely curtailed. But that's really, you know, they didn't make any changes on the estate taxes. They didn't make any changes on grantor trust. They did not increase the top tax rate for capital gains or for ordinary income. So far, if that's the only thing that's changed, farmers are actually looking pretty good.
Okay, very good. Give me 30 seconds on Section 199A.
Right now, no changes, but once it goes over to the Senate, the pet project of Senator Wyden, who's in charge of the Senate Finance Committee, is to severely curtail that deduction for high-income earners over $400,000, $500,000 of income. Good news is for those farmers that get a DPAD, that DPAD from the cooperative, that continues to have no restrictions on it. So this is based on his bill. It's a bill he introduced about 2 months ago. Potentially that might get into the final bill. But as of right now, no changes on 199A deduction at all.
All right. 45 seconds left here. What do we got to think about between now and the end of the year?
Well, I think farmers that have some value, they still need to be actively discussing with their attorneys. and their advisors, their CPAs and so on. Do I need to make some additional gifts, some major gifts? Not quite as pressing as it was a few months ago, but that's something they need to look at. Also, I'd still be telling farmers, let's go ahead and sell some crop, but sell it on a deferred payment contract. So normally you'd get that income in 2022, but you can elect to bring it back into 2021 if they really increase the rates in 2022. So those are, I would say, two of the major things that we definitely want farmers to look at.
Yeah, that flexibility on when you're going to recognize that income is paramount this year, I think, as we get into the end of the year, no doubt. Paul, great stuff, as always. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Thanks, Chip.
All right, that is Paul Niefer, Farm CPA, Clifton Larson Allen. When we come back, we're going to get the Farmer Forum going. We got Don Lamb from Indiana and Jay Myers from North Dakota next.
Every year, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low-dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach caught traders in the soy complex, the bean market in particular, leaning the wrong way yesterday. Had a nice move yesterday. Slow to start today.
Yeah, you know what? The soybean market's pushing to the upside, about a nickel higher here mid-morning or so. But, you know, I think the real story this morning so far is in the wheat market. Double-digit gains across all three of the markets there, SRW, HRW, and spring wheat. So that market's kind of got corn moving to the upside, soybeans moving to the upside. You mentioned caught leaning the wrong way maybe on soybeans ahead of the reports yesterday. I don't know if it's so much caught leaning the wrong way. The report data was bearish. I mean, let's be honest, it just wasn't as bearish as what the trade anticipated.
So, good point.
You know, they sold it off hard into the report, and that's probably the leaning the wrong way type of thing. But I think they were leaning the right way. They just maybe leaned too hard.
Leaned too hard. I gotcha. Very good. All right, take us over to the livestock trade. Mostly negative numbers in the cattle complex.
Yeah, feeder cattle are leading us down. Not too surprising given the strength in the corn market. So sharp losses in feeder cattle. Live cattle, they're relatively quiet, to be honest with you. Slight downside bias. Still waiting on cash cattle trade to develop. The light trade that we've seen so far probably isn't a good test, but it wasn't about steady money with week ago. So we'll wait and see where that all shakes out as the week goes on here. Hog futures, they were under pressure early on follow-through from yesterday's close, but now starting to work to the upside a little bit in the front end of that market.
Excellent. Good work. Thank you, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
For 20 years, the Milk Business Conference has brought together the most progressive dairy operations. Make sure you are there for 2.5 days of content to positively affect the profitability of your dairy. It will be held at a new location November 30th to December 2nd, 2021, in person at the Paris Las Vegas Hotel and Casino. Put your strengths to work as we continue to navigate this ever-evolving industry. View the agenda and register now at www.milkbusinessconference.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Let's get this week's Farmer Forum started. And as a reminder, the Farmer Forum is sponsored by America's Conservation Ag Movement. ACAM brings farmers and the sustainability community together around the future of farming by bringing profitable, planet-friendly farming practices into the mainstream. The movement is organized by Trust in Food, which is a Farm Journal initiative, and is done in partnership with the Farm Journal Foundation. All right, heading up north to North Dakota, Jay Myers. Jay, welcome back to AgriTalk and the Farmer Forum. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, Chip. Good morning.
Good morning to you. You sound perfectly clear up there. How's the weather?
Well, the wind is getting strong, and there was just a little drizzle this morning. Nothing to speak of, but the rain is moving in, I think. It's supposed to be raining by this afternoon sometime and then change into snow tomorrow, and it might be a pretty good storm moving in.
Yep, here it comes, huh? I mean, I've even heard a little bit of there's the potential for I don't even want to say it, but they're talking about some blizzard conditions up your way, aren't they?
Yeah, I think a little farther north than what we are could okay. possibly be blizzard, but where we're at, it's going to be kind of that crappy weather, you know, the snow, yeah. rain changing to wet snow, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, yep, no doubt. All right, hang tight there, Jay. We'll get right back to you. I want to bring in Don Lamb from Indiana. Don, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, Chip, I'm doing fine. Good to talk to you as well.
Good. How's the weather over your way today?
Today is a good day. We can keep, that talk of the snow word, keep that out there. We are, it's a good weather day today. We're looking at a pretty good rain forecast for tomorrow. So I'm sitting in the cab of a combine, still looking at a soybean field. So we're not as far along as we would like to be this time of year.
How close are you, Don?
Oh, if we had till tomorrow night, we could be done with soybeans. We've still got about 20% of our corn to shell still. So we had pretty much a record October rainfall here, and so we lost a lot of time in October. So we're not as far along as we would like to be.
How'd that corn crop stand up through all that rain?
Pretty good. Yeah, it did fine. Okay. You know, we raised some popcorn, and that's always more of a challenge. And we got that out, you know, really before the heaviest part of that, and did all right with that. But yeah, the corn is still. I'm not worried about the corn so much. I hate looking at a soybean field this time of year. So anxious to get that put behind us.
Yeah, and I've been over your way this fall, Don, and some of those fields that were harvested after it started to get wet and then warmed up again. Dude, it looked like a cover crop out in some of those fields, and it's volunteer beans.
Yeah, we've been trying to figure out how to get the USDA to supplement our cover crop expense that came out the back of our combine, but we haven't figured that out yet.
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible in some of those fields. It really is. It really is. So, every time I see something about the movie theaters, and how they're struggling to come back and everything, I think about you, Don, because of your popcorn. Yeah. Is that going to be an option for you again?
Right. Yeah, it is interesting on the popcorn because it somewhat offsets itself because people that stay home eat popcorn as a snack that way. So that helps. And then the pre-popped corn has gotten to be such a big thing. The snack corn that you buy at the convenience store. It's already popped, the skinny pop, things like that. So, yeah, it's you know, we're sure anxious for the ball fields and the movie theaters to come back strong, but it hasn't hurt the popcorn market as much as you think it might.
Good, gotcha. Jay, what about you? You were right in the middle of the dry stuff this summer, weren't you, Jay?
Yeah, we were dry most of the summer. We went into the season though with some pretty good moisture down below, a good water table, which that helped us get through the summer. But we in the middle of August there, we had some 95 to 100 degree days with wind, and it just sucked the daylights out of everything. And we had a few fields of corn that just lost moisture and tipped over, and we ended up buying a corn reel to get through a field or two. But you know, the crop was real variable. It was all over the board, you know, some poor yields and some pretty good yields. So, you know, in every field you'd go to, you'd wonder why it was yielding that. And then you go to the next field and then that one was better. And you'd look at our history of rain on every field and, you know, one was an inch higher than the next, and the next one was another inch higher. And it just was just directly correlated to the amount of rain.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. How are you? Pretty well wrapped up, Jay.
Yeah, we finished here about a week ago, a little over a week ago, and today in the last few days we're just kind of wrapping up some tillage and doing some ditching and end of the season work.
Yeah, okay. So as you were wrapping things up, Jay, what occupied your thoughts? What were you thinking about in that combine?
Well, it seemed like on the phone a lot, trying to order fertilizer and seed and chemical and trying to figure that whole situation out. It's like you're not supposed to be doing that when you're harvesting, but it turned out we were ordering all that stuff a couple months early.
And any luck?
I think so. I guess we won't know till next year if we were successful. You know, it depends on where these prices end up. But, yeah, I think we got a lot of it locked in here before some of these prices got too high.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then the important thing is, does it show up?
Well, that's the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we had some we thought was going to be delivered a month ago, and it still ain't here, so that kind of makes you nervous.
You bet. You bet. Don, what about you? What have you been thinking about in the combine cab?
Well, that's similar thoughts, that's for sure. And I get a fertilizer salesman that calls me about every week and asks me if I want to buy, and it's more expensive than it was the week before. And I'm like, well, I didn't buy it last week. Why would I buy it this week? And so we're trying to figure that out. At some point, I'm going to have to swallow my words and say, I should have done it. But, and we've, like I say, we're pretty good on plow down and things like that. I'm concerned about the nitrogen market because, you know, something needs to change before we have, you know, you've got to have nitrogen. You can skimp a little bit on phosphate and potash if you need to. But so anyway, thinking about those same sorts of things, the supply chain stuff is a big deal. Part of the reason we're not any further along than we are on our corn, we're still waiting for a grain bin to be built. They're putting the last finishing touches on this next couple days. Should have been built in June. But they've been waiting on parts and pieces and parts, you know, all summer long. It just trickled in, and then the builders got behind because of all the every project was the same way. Yeah. And so, we're truly sitting here in first part of November waiting for a grain bin to be finished so we can put corn in it, and that's a tough situation.
Yeah, that you want to talk about watching paint dry? Let's talk about watching them build a bin. Agonizing waiting for that to get done. I got to ask though, Don.
I noticed that up our way too.
I got to ask though, Don. I mean, basis is pretty good over your way. Why not just move some of that corn?
Well, we do a lot of contracted. All of our corn is either popcorn or waxy corn that's contracted.
Okay.
And we don't have any standard corn, so we're kind of stuck to hold it and deliver it when they want it. So that's just kind of, it's going to kind of bite us this year.
Gotcha. But, that would really put the pressure on getting that bin built. The markets, right, the way they performed yesterday, Jay, at following the crop production, supply and demand reports, Brian Grady said it perfectly at the bottom of the hour. It's not that it was a bullish report for soybeans. It's just that it wasn't as bearish as what they anticipated. And here today, now we've got bean prices that are roughly 30 cents higher than what they were yesterday morning at this time. It's kind of a nice move.
Yeah, I think it don't you think it made the traders a little bit nervous that it didn't move either one way or the other? And, the little bit of increase in yield that they showed was kind of expected. And up our way, it's kind of interesting. We've had a positive basis here at harvest. And I just had a call yesterday from one of the buyers, and they were offering 10 over December futures. They were trying to see if anybody wanted to core their bins and get some corn moving. And a lot of guys just filled them a couple weeks ago, and they kind of want to do other things for a while. But they're kind of getting nervous, I think. And I can't remember, maybe it was on your show, Chip, they were talking about corn in Canada with the droughts up there. Now corn's moving north from this area.
Yep.
You know, because they're out of feed.
Yep. Yeah. And it's not just feed, but there's all kinds of supply chain issues that we're dealing with right now. I mean, lysine for the hog feed, and that's increasing our soybean meal consumption. There's so many things. And Don, I know you felt the the effects of the supply chain issues, haven't you?
Oh yeah, we've definitely felt that, and I think on the market, you know, marketing is really 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 complicated anyway, and then you put a year like this in there, and so many different factors affect things. It seems like the rules are kind of thrown out at the moment. You know, inflation is such a big deal, and what's that mean to commodities? What's that mean to everything else we're doing? I feel inadequate most of the time to think about marketing. Right now, I feel really inadequate.
Wow. That's some interesting perspective right there, Don. Let's talk about that a little bit more when you come back, how to manage all of these different factors that are coming flying at us at this time of the year, and how to sort things out and make those decisions. Great, great perspective. We're talking with Don Lamb from Indiana, Jay Myers from North Dakota on the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
And on AgriTalk on Wednesdays, we do the Farmer Forum, which is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, which is done with financial and technical support from USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service. We've got sponsors AEM, American Farmland Trust, Certus, Corteva, Ducks Unlimited, Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy, National Association of Conservation Districts, and many, many more. Thank you so much for the support for ACAM and, of course, for AgriTalk and the Farmer Forum. Let's get back to the conversation. We got Don Lamb from Indiana, Jay Myers from North Dakota. Don, you really offered up some interesting perspective there at the end of the last segment when you said that you feel inadequate when it comes to marketing issues, and with everything that's being thrown at us right now, inflation, input cost, price volatility, it kind of doubles up on you.
Right.
You know, another source of frustration for you on your marketing has got to be that grain bin, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that you can't control. So, you know, you identify the things that you can control. You control those things. But at this time of the year, you guys, I think it's really important to get comfortable with what you've done with what you know you have. And that's that 21 crop. Make sure that you're comfortable there, and then start thinking about more about your 2020. You can't put off, or excuse me, the 2022. You can't put off your thoughts about the 2022 for too long, because opportunities will get away from you if you put it off for too long. But get comfortable with the 21 crop first, right, Don?
Oh, that's exactly right. And there's been a lot of talk about mental health in agriculture lately, and when you step back and look at it, you know, you think about what most of us are dealing with this time of year. You know, if we get the weather turns on us here, you know, there's a chance you've got soybean fields that you might not ever get a good harvest on. And you know, things that like that tend to really wear on you, but you can't control it. And so you're right. You've got to sort those things out. But then my other point in the break that I thought of when you think about feeling inadequate, it always comes back to people and relationships. And whether it's the guy building that bin, you know, I trust him. He's doing the best he can do to get that bin built. And that means a lot. You know, you can't control the fact of a certain bin sheet might not be here, but you've got people that care. And then it's the same way when you think about the 2022 crop, when you think about marketing advice, you know, I've got to rely on somebody that's a lot smarter than me to help me and release that to them, and then not worry so much about it. It is a balance to keep yourself positive.
Boy, Jay, Don laid it out right there. I mean, there's a lot of things that pile up at this time of the year and kind of create a fog in your thinking sometimes, isn't there?
Well, that's the thing. You know, a lot of times you're like, do I market the crop first, or do I buy the inputs first, or which do you do first and second? And you know, the numbers got to work out to try to make some profit too at the same time.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And then, Jay, for you up in your area, you know, you're talked about dealing with a positive basis. That's kind of an unknown or an unusual for sure during harvest. And then when you look forward to that 2022 crop, you've got the added uncertainty of whether or not there's going to be crush capacity that's going to be up and running and taking some soybeans, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, as far as the corn basis, you know, a positive basis is just at any time of the year is almost unheard of, let alone at harvest. And, you know, normally we're a 35 to 50 under at harvest, you know, so what does that mean for the future? It's like when it's never had it before, how do you figure that out too and plan for that? And, yeah, as far as crush capacity, you know, there's been a couple soybean crush plants proposed up in this area. And the first one was the ADM one out at Spiritwood. And then the second one was the one that's kind of moved around a little bit the last few years, but was the first one on the block to start with. Yeah. And now there's one, or that one is supposed to be at Castleton, North Dakota. So, you know, that's going to change our basis up in this area for soybeans too. So, and that's still a couple of years out by the time they get that built, you know, but that's stuff right. You got to think about for the future also. And then I just read yesterday, now there's a Chinese company that's going to build a corn plant up at Grand Forks.
An ethanol? Or what?
It's a processing plant of some sort for some sort of a corn meal, I think, that they make into some sort of food. So I'm not exactly sure what all they're...
Wow.
What all? Okay. I just read a little article about it yesterday. I'm not sure all the details yet.
Yep. Yep. Hey, I want to hop back over to Don. What's happening in your area that we need to know about, Don?
Well, you get boggled down a little bit with the backyard syndrome. So for me, I'm having a hard time getting past just trying to finish up harvest. And then the one thing I would throw out is I'm on our local county council, and I just want, I've reminded people this before, but in your areas, remember to stay involved in your local government, because there's so much money coming down from the federal level right now. And it's really, there's a lot of opportunities and there's a lot of things that could go wrong with federal money coming into your local government. So I guess that's one thing I would throw out is keep an eye on your what's happening locally. Ask your county councils, ask your commissioners, or however it's set up in your area, what's happening with federal money.
Great. Jay, I bet you agree with that. Stay involved and stay engaged, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. You got to know what's going on and things that are happening, and things change pretty fast.
Yeah, yep, they certainly do, and things are changing fast out there right now. You guys, I know that it's such a busy time of the year. I hope you realize how much I appreciate you guys making time for us today. Don, be safe out there. Finish things up. And, yeah, like I said, be safe, all right?
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you.
You bet. Thank you. That's Don Lamb over in Indiana. And Jay, glad to hear that you are done. Good work there. The work isn't over, so be safe, okay, man?
You bet. Thanks, Chip. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Jay Myers up in North Dakota. Wow. Thank you so much for listening today. Really appreciate that. You got to come back at 2:06 Central this afternoon. We've got Dan Huber from Redding Huber Ag Consulting. Tomorrow morning, Ethan Lane is coming back. And we'll get an update from crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier right here on AgriTalk.